Hey everyone, a quick word from our friends at Phillies Nation before we get started today. If you haven't heard already, the Phillies will be playing two games against the Mets in London next June. That's right, London, England. And our friends at Fans of Philly are offering super fun travel packages with everything planned. All you have to do is pack a bag and show up. Visit fansofphilly.com, that's P-H-A-N-S, of philly.com for details and deposits. And another good Monday morning to you, ladies, gentlemen, fanatics, fans of the top wildcard spot, Philadelphia Phillies. This is Phillies Therapy. My name is Paul Boyer. What did we say at the top of this month as August rolled around? We looked at the schedule. We saw some weaker teams coming up. And what did we say? We said, this is the time for the Phillies to make their move. And Matt Gelb of The Athletic, the Phillies are making their move. They just swept the St. Louis Cardinals, who are headed in the complete opposite direction from this team. They took two of three from the Giants and almost swept, and that was good for my soul. They are playing really, really, really good team baseball at the moment. They are 14 games over 500 at 72-58. They are padding their lead. They have a magic number, ostensibly, to clinch a playoff spot. It's hard to really find a ton of faults right now. There are some, not many. And that feels pretty good. Matt, hello. How are you? How was your weekend?
Good. The Phillies, all of a sudden, Paul, they're third in the league in slugging and third in the league in ERA.
This month is wild, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they've already set a franchise record for home runs hit in a month by the Phillies, which is fairly notable. I mean, but when you look at the offensive numbers across the board, I mean, they're now back up to fifth in runs scored in the league, second in batting average, fifth in on base. All these numbers, sixth in home runs now, which is, you know, a real huge rise for them. All these numbers that, you know, we were kind of looking at around the trade deadline, you're saying, man, like, it's really just, you know, it should be better. Like, we've seen them hit so many more home runs with runners on base this month. More in August than they hit in the rest of the season combined. Home runs with runners with two men on base or with bases loaded, those multi-run home runs, which are crucial swings, you know, in the course of a game. And I mean, the portrait, the current snapshot of these Phillies is quite good. You and I were looking at this before we got on. You know, they have 32 games left, and only 13 of them are against teams with winning records. And seven of those are against the Braves. And, some of those games against the Braves might even be played by the time they've clinched. And right now the Phillies, you know, I think there's different like narratives that I don't know that necessarily are true. It's like, oh, they're beating up on really bad teams. Well, that they are for sure. They also have the sixth best winning percentage against teams with winning records. And they trail only the Braves, Orioles, Dodgers,
sure,
Rays, and the Giants, for some reason.
Of course.
They've actually, they have a better winning percentage against, they rank better, they comparatively against winning teams with winning records than they do with teams with losing records. So August has been great for the Phillies. They've done what they've had to do. Sweeping the Cardinals at home just kind of adds a little sweetness to it. It really is amazing that the Phillies toppled the Cardinals dynasty October. I mean, with two games at Busch Stadium, pretty amazing how different the paths are that these two franchises have taken since that series at Busch Stadium. Phillies still have three more against the Cardinals in September in St. Louis, but really excited for this week. The Angels are in town, and Paul, you look at the Angels baseball reference page, and you look at the war leaders, and there's Shohei Ohtani, the star of stars. There's Mike Trout, who, has been hurt most of the season, and is hurt again now, which is a shame because it's always cool when he's playing back in Philadelphia. And then their number three and number four war leaders are former Phillies. And number three is Mickey Moniak, who's having a fine season. He was much better about 6 weeks ago. He's been in a really bad tailspin. We can talk more about him. And then number four on the Angels war leaders is it's Matt Moore.
Matt Moore. It's just, it's funny because I'm looking at them and they have such just sour faces in their portraits.
They look sad. Yeah. They're like, we were, you know, we have two of the best players in the history of baseball and we are the number three and number four war getters on this team. This is our face.
Oh my gosh. It's wild. It really is a sad scene to look at the Angels, you know, this baseball reference page. If you're not familiar with BUF for whatever reason, if there's a player who's appeared for the team, but they're not currently on the active roster, they appear in plain text and the active roster is shown as of the previous day in bold text. All right. So pretty simple. And you look at the offensive players.
Grim.
There's nine of them in that primary frame with the regulars group, the guys who've had the most plate appearances at their positions. And there's three bold names. Everybody else is on the shelf. It's fascinating to look at these two teams and the parallels that should exist that just don't, right? You look at the Phillies and Angels, they have stars.
Star-laden lineups, rosters.
They have owners who in different ways are willing to spend money. And again, they can be very, it's more layered than that, but they're willing to spend money. And the fates of these franchises just could not be more different over the last couple of years. You know, Mike Trout comes back for one day and then has to go back on the injured list. This team buys at the trade deadline. They bring in players. And what do they do but immediately go in the toilet? Like, they're now under 500. They're almost out of the race at 63 and 68. Their playoff odds have absolutely plummeted. It can't be a lot of fun to play for this team right now because there just isn't a lot working. And you look at another parallel, speaking of spending money, the Angels have shelled out for some players that should have been stars for them. Mike Trout has been a star for them when he's been on the field. He's unfortunately been hurt a lot. Otani, obviously, he's having the greatest season in the history of the sport. But then you look at somebody like Anthony Rendon, who he not stay on the field. He's become, you know, something of an immense distraction off of it. And he's got three more years of almost $40 million on the books to get through there. And you're just like, it makes you grateful almost, or at least it puts it in perspective how well the deals the Phillies have given out almost universally have worked for them positively.
I mean, yeah, like, look, and there's still a long ways to go on some of these contracts, but you know, the Trey Turner deal hasn't started out, you know, like the Phillies intended, but I mean, it hasn't been a total sunk cost here. Like, mm-mm. Like the Rendon deal, which is, you know, $245 million, and they've gotten, they've really gotten nothing out of it. They've gotten like three war, I guess. And all that came in 2020. It's just staggering how much of an albatross he's been. But, you know, the Bryce Harper deal, you know, some would argue has already paid off. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's, yeah. I mean, like if he didn't play again, like, would it be a bad contract? Probably. But, he seems like he's got a little more left. It's crazy, right? Bryce hasn't even turned 31 yet.
Yeah, he's got a little in the tank.
You know, the JT Realmuto deal, I think when they signed it, you're all kind of like, okay, like the fourth and fifth years of that deal, especially the fifth year, you know, might not be good. It might not go well. You know, the third year, he's in the third year right now. It hasn't gone great, but he, you know, he is still a solid everyday player. He's not the best catcher in baseball, and that's pretty clear. But that happens. He's going to be 33 in March. He's aging about as well as I guess you could expect him to age. And you notice that he's batting lower in the order now, and I think that's where he belongs. But yeah, I mean, like, you look at the Wheeler contract, one of the best free agent contracts the Phillies have ever signed, I think.
Easy.
Unequivocally. Oh, yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, they've gone big on some of these deals, and very rarely has it completely and utterly backfired. You know, the Castellanos deal, I don't know. It's like, it's probably not as it's not going to look as good as it should by the end. Is it totally sunk this team? No. I mean, because no. It was 5 years and $100 million. It's like they still did other things. Same with the Schwarber deal. And so, yeah, I mean, it's one thing to spend money. It's another thing to get some kind of return on it, because as we know, I mean, spending money on free agents is an increasingly difficult and losing proposition. That's not to say that teams shouldn't sign free agents, because they shouldn't. I think the Phillies are the perfect example of that. Mm-hmm. I just know that there will be diminishing returns, and you're always, you know, you're often paying for past performance. But I think in the Phillies case, you know, especially with Wheeler and Harper, they were paying for future performance as well. And they've certainly got the return on that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it brings into sharper relief to the upcoming decision on Nola, because it's going to put this pattern to the test. Like, well, sure. What's their decision going to be? Is it going to be the right one? You have to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, the moves they're making are by and large the right ones so far. That's, of course, something we'll leave for a little bit later. No, it's really just, you know, the objective fan in me, my heart kind of breaks for the Angels fans and the guys going out there. And yeah. you have the two best players in the game when they're at full strength. You have the two best players in the sport. And maybe you can argue for Mookie Betts and like some other guys. Okay, fine. You know what I'm getting at. You have Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout on one team. And that should be enough to give you more than what the Angels franchise has given this fan base. So you look at this team coming into Philadelphia right now, and Ohtani's there, but he's got a hurt elbow ligament and won't pitch for the rest of the year. So he's hitting only, which, you know, it's still pretty good. Amazing. But Trout is hurt again. Mickey Moniak comes back, and he's got over 100 strikeouts and fewer than 10 walks, which is wild to me. When he's putting the ball in play, he's having a nice season, but, you know. Other than that, what else is going on? What else is going on with this team? You know, nothing. Logan Ohapi is healthy and coming back. He's off to a bit of a slow start since returning from his shoulder injury, and that's kind of expected. That was a significant injury. Brandon Drury was a free agent acquisition that they picked up from the Padres. You remember the NLCS foes, and he's been fine. You know, he's another guy with an extreme strikeout to walk imbalance. And you just look up and down this lineup, and you know, the pitching outside of Ohtani has been kind of a mess. Carlos Estevez was brought in from Colorado. He's been okay. But young guys like Reed Detmers haven't really progressed. You know, Tyler Anderson was brought in to be a bit of a stabilizer. He hasn't been great. Former Phillies great Tyler Anderson, I should say.
Yeah, for about 2 hours, right?
The Frank Gore Hall of Fame. Now, you look at this franchise, and, you know, Lucas Giolito. You know, he's totally been a nosedived. Mess.
I mean, that's the thing is you applaud them for, they went out and they tried, right? They went out and had it. Even when they made, you know, maybe, you know, the actuarial science says, oh, maybe, you know, maybe they shouldn't go for it, the odds, whatever, but they went for it. And then you look at every guy they've acquired since the deadline, and they've been horrible. Like Randall Grichuk is a guy that, you know, we had talked about,
yes,
you know, months ago, is like, oh, this, you know, this guy can make sense of the Phillies. He's having a really strong year. I mean, he has been horrible for the Angels since they got him. CJ Cron is hurt and was horrible before that. Lucas Giolito has been absolutely brutal since coming over, and he's going to pitch tonight at Citizens Bank Park against the Phillies. And I mean, just Eduardo Escobar, Mike Moustakas has been the best out of them. And it's like, man, you just, yeah, I mean, you feel for fan base and also for the sport, right? Because like, we want to see Ohtani on the biggest stage, and it's going to be, I've never seen him play live. I was not at the ballpark last year when Angels came to town. Remember, that was, mm-hmm. you know, so much Pivotal. Was happening. That was Rob Thompson's first series. The Angels were on the verge of firing, Joe Maddon, and, just a lot of things happening. And, there's like, more than two dozen Japanese media members that are falling around Ohtani right now, and he hasn't talked for weeks, even before the injury stuff. And he's just like, it's going to be really cool, because I think a lot of fans are going to come to the ballpark to see the Phillies, but also to see Ohtani. And you know, who knows where he is next year? Who knows, you know, when or if he has surgery, if he doesn't, you know, how long he's out, if he's in the National League, if he's in the American League, when he'll be back in Philadelphia. But it's going to be a really cool show, I think. And yeah, the Phillies are catching the Angels at a really good time. And I think it's going to be like, do you pitch to Ohtani? Like, I think he was intentionally walked 3 or 4 times over the weekend against the Mets. You probably make other guys in the lineup beat you, right? But that's, you know, but everyone's coming to see Ohtani, and you don't want to see him walked.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the team has just been relegated to emergency status and calling up the guy they just drafted in June. You know, Nolan Shanwell is.
They've used 60 different players. Do you know how many different players the Phillies have used this year?
60. How many?
41.
41. 50% more players. 19
more players than the Phillies have. That is insane.
They're having a tough go of it right now. And you feel for them as you know, students of the game, as people who, like you said, want to see Shohei Ohtani in the playoffs. I want to see that guy in the playoffs. And he's not going to be in it again this year. But as a Phillies fan, yeah, absolutely. You're salivating at the thought of getting this team in here right now. Absolutely. Not playing at full strength. Morale's got to be low. Guys dropping like flies. Pitching hasn't been great. You're catching a pitcher who's, you know, good, has been good in the past, but is not good right now. It's a good chance to just continue to pad their lead, bank those wins, and, you know, trim that magic number. I mean, we could be talking about this team clinching a playoff spot by, you know, the third week in September, a wild card spot, albeit, but, you know, clinching and not having to worry about, you know, just one or two games of tune-up by the end of the year. They could know their spot even as soon as the third week in September, probably, if you're forecasting like that. So All of the curves right now are good. Like, the Phillies trending up, the Angels trending down, everybody else in the NL wildcard race trending down. I mean, they're playing some interesting games. The Arizona-Cincinnati series was interesting, but I think it also highlighted, you know, that this Phillies team is better than those two teams right now.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, okay.
So you're talking about these end of season scenarios, and I kind of broached this subject. I wrote about Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola, you know, just sort of the weekend they had and kind of where they're at, you know, at this point going into September, you know, probably about 5 or 6 starts left for each of those guys. Let's say you get to that final weekend. Okay.
Yeah.
At the Mets, you've already clinched a playoff spot. You know, you're in the playoffs, but you need to win 2 out of 3 or something like that to have home field advantage in that first round. What's the calculus and sort of the balance in deciding whether to use Wheeler or Nola in that last weekend and make them potentially unavailable, you know, for a game 1 or game 2 of that series? Like, what's more important, having home field in that first round or having your two guys for games 1 and 2 of that series?
You know, it's a great question, and it's a real question. It really is, and it's worth thinking about. I don't know.
It may
know
not come down to that. Yeah,
right. It might not.
It behooves the Phillies, quite obviously, to, you know, seal that fourth spot and get home field advantage, you know, sometime before that final weekend.
Yeah, I mean, well, like, think about this team, right, and how much better they've been playing at home. It is a best of three, and it's only 3 games. And the really objective perspective is like, well, okay, look what the Phillies did to the Cardinals last year, and it's only, you know, it's first to win 2. You can do that on the road. And I get that. I do. And I think that's true. That's why I don't feel terrible thinking about the possibility of this team slipping toward, you know, the 5th or 6th spot and having to play on the road. They can do it. They've got the hitters. They've got the pitchers. They can make it work. But I just, the intangible part of things, if we're going to bring that into the discussion, and I'm trying to get in touch with, like, the feelings portion of my fanhood a bit more over the last couple of years. I want to see this team play at home more. I think that matters more. I think they're playing a little bit better, and I think having that environment at their backs will make a difference. I do.
So you say go for it in that final weekend if you have to use your guys.
Well, I still don't know, because an important part of playing well, even if you're at home, is having your best guys, yeah. right? Like that you can't just write that off. You can't just say, all right, well, we'll feel fine if Ranger Suarez and Michael Lorenzen are the guys we have to start in the first two games. Like that changes things a little bit. So I don't know. And that's why I don't know if there's an answer to that question, but it is really worth thinking about. It does emphasize the fact that, you know, outside these Braves games, they do continue to have a lighter schedule really through the rest of this year.
Yes.
Even this
upcoming trip, it's going to be a challenge, right? I mean, they go to Milwaukee and San Diego. Yes. Milwaukee's playing much better right now. San Diego, I don't know. We've talked about them way too much on here. They're mystifying, but they are
losing faith.
Yeah. I mean, that's a challenging trip. I mean, you know, but outside of that, man, I mean, I don't know. It's like, yeah, those last 10 games, 7 against the Mets, 3 against the Pirates. I mean, that is, you know, prime cooking time right there. And so many games at home too, right? You know, a strong majority of their games still at home here. And they've really, you know, they've really cleaned up here, you know, going 5-1 and to start this homestand, you know, really huge. I thought we'd spend this entire podcast talking about the 10 pitchers Gabe used to beat the Phillies.
Yeah, well. No,
it's the only game the Phillies have lost in this homestand. I mean,
right.
A game in which the Giants had used 10 pitchers and outlast them in 10 innings to win. They're playing really good right now. Yeah.
If the Phillies hadn't won the first two games of that series, I think that game would have broken my spine. but thankfully they didn't. Hey, and I can live with it. They have 32 games left, right? They have 32 games left in this season. If they go 16-16, they win 88 games.
Yeah.
So baseline, if they play worse than they have been playing, they will win 88 games. This could be a 90-win team. And with the way the schedule is shaping up, it looks good. We've been projecting
15, get some 89. Yeah.
Yeah.
17-15.
They can do it. And we've talked all along about how it would probably just take, you know, what, 86 wins to lock up one of the wild card spots. So they're just,
it's going to end up being less than that.
It is going to end up being less than that.
That sixth seed? I mean, I don't know.
Look,
it's going to be less.
You can't take your foot off the gas. And I think they know this as well as anybody. We know this. We don't want to see them, you know, start coasting too early. Like, take care of business, lock things up, and then, you know, get your ducks in a row and you can play the resting game and all of that. But you're right. Milwaukee's won 8 games in a row. They're starting to hit. We saw their pitching.
But I have a real hot take on this.
Do you? What is it?
I think, Paul, the worst possible scenario for the Phillies is that somehow Milwaukee drops down to a wild card and the Phillies face them in the first round. And I say that only because Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff in a short series, that's tough.
Like, I wouldn't
out
love
of
that,
all the
no.
potential matchups for the Phillies in the first round, that is the worst, I think. So I think the Brewers winning a lot recently and sort of distancing themselves a little bit in that NL Central, they now have a 4-game lead over the Cubs. That is great for the Phillies.
Yeah. I don't think that's super hot. Yeah, I'd agree with you.
Burnes and Woodruff, I mean, I don't know. Like, you just, their Phillies are better than the Brewers. But in a 3-game series in which Burnes and Woodruff are starting 2 out of the 3 games, that's not good. Like, that is not the matchup you want.
No. And look, we saw what can happen if the Brewers have a lead really at any point in the game, but especially late in the game.
Correct.
You can't expect to do to Devin Williams what the Phillies did on consecutive nights to Camilo Duvall. You really can't even expect the Phillies to do to Camilo Duvall what they did on consecutive nights to Camilo Duvall.
Yeah.
That was very fortunate, and I was happy to see that. And the Brewers are not a team to take lightly, right? Even before they started hitting, and they have been hitting, Christian Yelich looking better is a big deal. The season lines for a lot of this lineup are still not great. I get that.
But let the Dodgers go play them in a short series instead.
Yeah, yes,
in a 5-game series. And I think that it would be a competitive series. I think the Brewers clearly have their flaws, but in a short series, I think they are a dangerous team.
Yes, absolutely. It's part of the peril of the new format. You know, a 3-game series. You know, you could be the Phillies could finish, you know, 5 games clear of the second wild card spot. They could finish maybe even ahead of the Brewers. They're only a game behind the Brewers right now.
Right.
You know, and they wouldn't play them in this. Well, anyway, it's just the peril of these short series. It's why you want to get these better teams in the best of five, right? Like I'm up for facing the Braves in a best of five. I am more up for facing them in a best of five.
You don't want to face the Braves ever, but yes, you're going to have to, which they're going to have to. They're going to have to face the Braves at some point if they want to win the National League again. You know, but I want to turn this around, though, Paul. It's like right now, do you think other teams are looking at the Phillies and saying, in a short series, man, I don't know if I want to face that team right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially if they can get Nolan Wheeler lined up like we're talking about.
Correct.
The calculus
the biggest development in the last few weeks has been those two guys, I think, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then Nola having consecutive starts where he, you know, goes deep, looks good. He gave up a hit to the first batter of the game against the Cardinals, and that was it.
What was different about him? I don't know how much you watched, but to me, what was different about Nola on Sunday? What was different about Nola before that? Down in the zone. The majority of pitches were down in the zone.
No, that's okay. I started off a little worried about him in the first inning because it looked like he was missing arm side up, and that was sort of the flag. Like, is he going to start doing, you know, the erratic stuff again? But you're right. Down in the zone is where he lives. If he can get the curveball to start in the zone and dive out of it, like it, you know, so often has in his peak years and peak starts, then you're going to have a hard time facing him no matter who you're putting in the lineup.
Yeah. And his problems with runners on base, he solved it by just like pitching with no one on base the entire game.
Right.
That's brilliant. What a great solution. It's like, you know what? I'm having trouble with pitching with runners on base. I'm just not going to put anyone on base.
Yeah, you know, get that out of here. No, he needs to be your number two. Like a true number two. You know, you hear the term ace thrown around a lot and it gets a little misused and it gets diluted. And Aaron Nola at his peak was an ace. This year he has not been an ace, and I think everybody can see that, but he hasn't been a number two either. If you can have Zach Wheeler in his current form and pair number two quality Nola, and I'm talking about the guy we've seen the last two times through, that's your guy right there. And if I'm a fan of another team, I'm thinking, man, I got to face those guys two out of the potential three games we play. That lineup is hitting well. You know, Trey Turner's resuscitated, and now that lineup is really deep. It's a really deep lineup, and we're seeing that with, you know, 50 home runs in a calendar month. The next one will be their 50th.
Crazy.
Yeah, as an opposing team, you got to be like, oh, man, I don't really want that. You'd probably jockey for position to avoid that if you could.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to make sure we highlight is that, like, look, let's not forget, like, where both Wheeler and Nola were this time 1 year ago, okay? Wheeler was on the injured list. He went on the IL at the very, you know, the last week of August, and there was, you know, a decent amount of concern, right? I mean, it was like they kept saying precautionary, look, we just need to give him a break. He's got this forearm tendonitis, you know, yada, yada. And he only made 3 starts at the end. And remember, all, you know, there was rain, there was all these schedule problems. You're like, can he get stretched out before the playoffs? Can he even get back? He didn't throw 90 pitches for like 6 weeks until that game in St. Louis.
Yeah.
He's entering September in a very, very different form. His last 2 starts, I think, have been really impressive. It's because the stuff, the velocity is there. It's like, you know, really taken, you know, really rebounded. There was a kind of a dip in the velocity. He's still pitching fine through it, but he's just much better when he's at 96, 97, quite obviously. And he's even touched 98 a bunch against the Cardinals. And then also, like a year ago this time, what was the talk about Aaron Nola?
That September was his biggest enemy.
That September was his biggest enemy. And he conquered that last September. He was spectacular, you know, almost perfect in that clincher. Very strong for the Phillies early in the playoffs. And I know he did fade later. I'm fully aware of that. So did Wheeler. But both these guys are entering September, I think, in better places than they entered last September. And having that sort of armor, you know, of the experiences they had last year and the things they overcame, you know, maybe we'll look back. And Nola, certainly, no doubt, it has been a disappointment this season. I don't think there's, you know, the last 2 starts notwithstanding, You know, he has a 4.3 ERA. He has been disappointing. He's 29 home runs, disappointing. But maybe going through this grind and maybe doing it during the summer and having, you know, to adjust and, you know, rethink and just, you know, maybe even think less about how he's pitching and what he's doing. Maybe that will serve him well down the stretch here.
And do you think it was very brief before Ranger got hurt, but do you think the 6-man rotation and getting a little extra rest maybe helped him, you know, spruce up a little bit, feel a little bit fresher for these last couple of starts? Maybe that's something he just needed.
For Nola, yeah, probably. Wheeler doesn't like it. Like he, you know, it's not like he's upset about it, but he doesn't like it. He likes to pitch every sixth day or every fifth day. And I get that. He's, you know, he's kind of a creature of habit, and most of these guys are. But yeah, I mean, you look at Nola's, you know, splits with extra rest. It hasn't been like great, you know, like a 4.6 ERA on regular rest.
That's true.
That's 5 true. ERA on 5 days. And then a 2.88 on 6+ days rest, which he's made 4 starts actually, you know, with that 6+. And they are going to go back to a 6-man here. So the way it looks like now, so Suarez will pitch 2 hitters Monday afternoon, and he's not going to go on a minor league rehab. He will be, if everything goes right and well, in his little live BP session, he's going to be activated at some point during this road trip. So the Phillies go to Milwaukee and San Diego beginning Friday. Rosters expand on Friday to 28 players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Suarez, he can be activated Friday. I don't think he'd be activated right away. I actually think it sounds like the Phillies might even just like go a guy short for a couple days, because like Suarez maybe pitches that Saturday or Sunday in Milwaukee, okay, or even Monday, uh-huh, in San Diego. But he's trending toward being back in the rotation, you know, during that road trip. And they will go to back to a 6-man at least through the doubleheader they have on September 11th against the Braves. So they want to keep 6 guys up to that, because they'll need 2 starters that day. And then after that, I think they reassess. And there are innings considerations, you know, with both Chris Sanchez and Michael Lorenzen, and it's possible they piggyback those guys. So like maybe when they expand rosters, like the 28, it's possible just that Suarez is the 20, you know, is the 14th pitcher, and they keep Sanchez around and sort of use him as, I don't know, like a piggyback kind of guy for Lorenzen, or maybe even Sanchez starts and Lorenzen piggybacks him. I don't know. But it sounds like Sanchez will have a path to like sticking around here in September. As far as the position side goes, when they expand rosters, I don't know, spin a wheel. They don't even use the 13th position player now anyway. Like Rodolfo Castro has batted, what, like 2 times in the last 2 weeks? 3 times. And I get it. I mean, like, it's just too many position players. With the DH, they just don't need it. They don't need that last guy on the bench. And, like, kind of seen how the Braves have done it this year. Like, they have, you know, they barely use their bench players. It's kind of funny. Do you know Luke Williams is on the Braves active roster right now?
Sure. Yeah, why not? Why not?
I think that's kind of their plan going forward. And, you know, if they have to step on the gas, like in the middle of September, you know, to sort of just distance themselves a little bit, then I think they go back to the 5-man. I think ideally they get these, you know, they're able to sort of massage the rotation near the end of the month and just get everybody primed and ready to go.
Well, you know, it's really important, not just for the team's seeding or positioning in the playoffs to lock things up as soon as possible. But, you know, when you were talking about the 6-man rotation coming back and the innings that these guys have pitched on both sides of the ball, pitching and hitting, really, you're seeing guys play a lot more than they have, you know, particularly the young guys on the hitting side. Having the opportunity as much as you can in the regular season to not have to run guys out for 9 innings, you know, 17 straight days or whatever, if you can help it, for the young guys and for somebody like JT, maybe get him off his feet a little bit more, because of course he is a catcher, as much as he wants to play every day. It's a bonus, you know, get guys as fresh as you can. I get that there's some habitual things and guys want to stay sharp. Sure, they'll keep playing, but you don't have to run them into the ground. Ideally, you know, you look at somebody like, take somebody like Bryson Stott, right? Like he logged 460 plate appearances in the majors last year and a few more in the minor leagues. I'm looking up the exact number. So 40 at AAA last year. So that's just over 500 plate appearances all told in the pros. He's already at 521 this year with a full month to play. Now, he has been the unsung star of this team this year now, as far as I'm concerned. Like, this is now pivoting from, you know, oh, Castellanos is bouncing back. That's great. Oh, Harper is having a white hot month. That's fantastic. Oh, Turner's come alive. That's great. Oh, Wheeler's carried them. Bryson Stott, you know, he's not having a superstar year by conventional standards. I get that. That's fine. I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he's a top 10 player in the majors. That's not what I'm getting at. I think that there has just been this almost like quiet production from this guy with his, you know, 40 extra base hits, his 24 out of 26, you know, successful stolen base attempts. OPS plus is over 110. He's playing really good defense. All that's coming together for he's having a 4-win season with a month to go. This is a guy whose chance is coming to really, you know, bust out on a national stage. He showed up in the playoffs last year for sure, but I think this is approaching the time where Stott becomes a name. Again, not saying he's about to make a leap into a top 10 player status. I don't think that's his destiny. But there's something to this guy's game this year that it's hard to really talk about him this effusively without coming off a little bit hyperbolic. Because you look at his numbers and they're fine.
Well,
but
I'll give you some context. I'll give you some context. Yeah. Okay, here are and this is Baseball Reference War, and you know, whatever you want to say about the stat, that's fine. These are the Phillies players who are 25 and younger since 2000 with a 4-win season. And as you said, Stott currently at 4.3 Baseball Reference War. These are the guys. Odubel Herrera did twice, 2015, 2016. Jimmy Rollins, 2004. Pat Burrell, 2002. Scott Rowland, 2000.
That's it?
That's it. And by the time the season is over, Stott could eclipse all those guys. If he gets Rollins at 4.7 WAR in 2004, if Stott gets over that, which he probably will if he keeps going where he's at. I mean, he'll have the best season, you know, for a 25 and younger Phillies player by WAR since Bobby Abreu in 1999. And
wow,
Abreu was pretty good that year.
Yeah,
he's very good that year.
Yeah, pretty good player.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying about Stott, because it's like, I don't want to use the S word, right? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if he's a star. Is he a star? I don't know.
He's
having a star type season. I think what his season is forcing us to do is to revise our sort of trajectory for him.
Yes.
Because he is 25 and he is having the season that he's having. You have to say that, like, he now has unlocked a different tier for his possible career projection. That is a star track, right?
Maybe. That this is even a conversation, I think, is what's making the season so impressive. You know?
Yeah, totally different guy. And you were talking about the playing time and the amount of playing time. I do think, Paul, that like the season these guys went through last year playing into the first week of November will serve them so well here. These guys know now, you know, the physical and mental grind that took. And let's remember, like you said, Stott last year in the playoffs, you know, he had a couple moments, but mostly he was overwhelmed. He was completely overwhelmed. And he had some great, you know, he fouled off a lot of pitches. He had some tough AEs, you know, but teams are just feeding him fastballs, elevated fastballs. And he really did not have a chance. And he looked tired. He was playing shortstop. He was fine. I'm not saying he was like a somebody who really hurt them. But I mean, you go back and look in the World Series, I mean, he was 0 for 14. With 5 strikeouts and 4 walks in the World Series. I mean, he was gassed. He was done. you know, the overall playoffs aggregate, you know, he had a 482 OPS in the playoffs last year. I mean, he was he hit 136 with four doubles, four extra base, six hits, four doubles, 12 strikeouts. Like he was not the guy he was right now. And so you have a lot of faith about, you know, the kind of guy, the kind of game he plays, you know, really showing up in the playoffs. And actually Rob Thompson mentioned this after Sunday's game. He's like, we're playing playoff type baseball right now. And the reason why he said that is just, you know, the way they moved runners in and sort of manufactured runs, they have obviously, you know, they've hit a ton of home runs this month, and that has been, you know, what has captured everyone's attention and for rightfully so. I did think they scored two runs on Sunday in really, impressive fashion. Like, you know, there was a moment where Turner takes, you know, Turner takes an extra 90 feet all the time, and you see him do it on a single to left. He's just watching the left fielder the whole time, and now he's going first to third because he's watching that left fielder, and he can tell that Alec Burleson, who had a truly rough game on Sunday, isn't moving fast out there and isn't hustling to the ball, and Turner just takes off and takes third base, goes from first to third on a single to left, which is very hard to do, and then scores on a sacrifice fly. So there's all these little things are scored on a bloop base hit that he wouldn't have scored.
Yeah, the Harper base. Thing. Okay.
There's all these little things that they've been doing, and that shows up. And so, the current snapshot of this team is quite good. And I know it'll change. I know there will be some sort of adversity they'll face here in the final 5 weeks.
Definitely.
Because we are, you know, now less than 5 weeks from the end of the regular season, which is crazy to say. But they're 14 over. It's a season high. They look the part right now. And you know, there's something to be said about peaking at the right time. And there's still 5 weeks left, so it's not as if, you know, I mean, I think they'd be really happy to go into the playoffs right now. But they have five more weeks, and you know, you have to maintain that somehow. It's a really interesting and I think dangerous team right now. That certainly has its flaws. But the overall picture is quite good right now.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. And when that adversity does come, this is the point in time to remember, like, hey, this is what this team is capable of. They could break out and go back to this at any time. Maybe not. Maybe they'll just continue to cruise through the rest of the schedule. Maybe they'll win, you know, 20 of their last 32 games and finish, 92-70. They could do it. Yeah, why not? Sure.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, like, how many wins do you think they're going to finish with here? Like, here we are, 5 weeks left, 72-58. They are, you know, really playing. You know, you're looking at them at a high point. You know, this is about as good as they've been this season. How many wins?
Oh, look, man. Even with two Atlanta series in there, they just need to go 18-14 to win 90 games. That's not asking a ton. I get that there's, you know, the late season, like, are we going to rest guys? Who's clinched by then, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, fine. Now that it's in play, now that it's like closer than on the horizon, I want 90. I want the 90. So I'm going to say 90, and they finish 90-72 after going 18-14 in these last 32 games. I want it.
I'll just say 89, but
oh, fine.
I can no, but way. I mean, I think 90. I think 90, even more than 90, is attainable here. I mean,
sure.
I look at the schedule and I. They check all the boxes right now, and that's something you want to say going into October, not going into September. But that's okay to be saying that going into September because we know, you know, what kind of challenges this month has brought to Phillies teams in the past. But I think quite obviously this is, this is not a Phillies team of the past. I mean, this is a good team and arguably, you know, better than last year's team. It's some people won't forget this, but some people will. I mean, you know, they had two different, five game losing streaks in September. And right. I just, it's hard to see this team having 2 5 game losing streaks in September, maybe one. It's hard to see them having two.
Well said. The vibes are good. And
by the way, same record as they were last year through 130 games, 72-58. This is this point. This point, do you remember? Okay, so let's just for a snapshot where they were last year. At this point, they were in Arizona. They just lost 12-3. They're 72-58. They win the final game. They score 18 runs in the finale in Arizona. Then they go to San Francisco and had maybe one. You know, maybe it was probably their worst series of that month, and that's saying something because there were some bad series in that month. They were horrible in that series in San Francisco. They got swept. The last game was a walk-off loss. Dave Robertson was on the mound. You know, he had, they tried to use him for a ton of pitches. He threw 41 pitches in that game. Other pitchers in that game, Ranger Suarez, Nick Nelson, Vinny Natoli, and Sam Coonrod. Sam Coonrod, who's pitching for the Mets right now. Dave Robertson, who just lost the closer's job in Miami. Oof.
Yeah, lost it to Tanner Scott, right?
Yeah. But that's where this team was at this point last year. And, you know, Wheeler had been put on the IL. Dominguez, I believe, at this point was on the IL. There were a lot of like really like, you know, like we're in a good spot, but like, you know, like what is this going to look like? I look at this same record this year, totally different feeling, right?
I feel as positive about a team as I have at this point in the year in a long time. I definitely did not feel like this last year. Even it's almost funny to hear that they had the same record because I really just I did not have this kind of like this kind of sense about that team that they could be a 90 win team. It did not feel like last year's team was on a path to 90 wins, even as they sat 14 over at the end of last August. Like I had sort of forgotten about that just because it did not feel like a team that was going to do that. This team feels like it could. They're playing better.
And part of it is like just lifting the burden of September that hung over this franchise. You know, that the fact that the Phillies did it and they didn't do it in the prettiest fashion, but they did it. You know, just doing that, I think, you know, changes how you perceive this team now going into September.
Yeah, well said. All right, so let's not ruin the feeling in the air, right? Let's see the Angels come to town. Everybody go out and check out Ohtani and hope for a sweep. Then an interesting test of a series over the weekend in Milwaukee.
I think they're missing Burns and Woodruff. I think.
Well, that would be nice.
I think so, yeah. The current problems are Wheeler against Peralta, Nola against Hauser, who I think is hurt, so maybe that's not right.
Oh, Adrian
and then
Hauser,
Walker against Miley.
Okay, yeah, I think Hauser had to leave his last start. But that'll be interesting if they miss both of them. That would be nice. The Phillies are playing well up and down the lineup, basically, up and down the pitching staff, basically. Hard to quibble. Enjoy it while it lasts. Hopefully it lasts the rest of the season.
Wow, that's blatant. It sounds threatening.
You know,
enjoy it while it lasts.
Well, look, all right. Just to interrupt my outro for a second here. We talk about how the Phillies have learned lessons from last year, right? They learned how to clinch. They learned how to play deep into the year. I think we as fans now have begun to relearn, for those of us who were, you know, of conscious age during the golden era at the end of the 2000s. We've begun to relearn, you know, what it's like to watch a winning team with these expectations, with playoff aspirations, with now championship aspirations. And it's helped me in particular really realize that the feeling you get from watching a team play really good baseball for an extended period of time is something to really hold on to. It's something to really treasure. It's something to look back on when the bumpy patches hit. And, you know, we're talking about, hey, maybe they have a September losing streak in them. Yeah, maybe.
Probably.
But the way they've been playing, it's just, you know, they play the Braves for four games. They that might not go well. Look, this has been a really, really enjoyable couple of weeks. This has been a great month. They hit 50 home runs this month. The month's not over. This is great. And I have learned to recognize that moment as it's here, as we're experiencing it because of what last year gave us. So there you go. There's that.
Yeah, totally right. And like the ebbs and flows, like, I mean, it's funny because somebody, I don't know who it was, and it's Twitter or whatever. It was somebody on Twitter was like, you know, before this weekend, they were like, the Phillies are only 12-9 this month. You know, it's just been an okay month. Like, they, you know, it hasn't been a successful month. I'm like, well, 12-9, that's like a 91 right. win pace for a season. It's like, we do tend to forget, you know, like how fine the line is between like a really good team. That's a 92 win pace, by the way, 12 out of 21.
Right.
And now they're 15 out of 24, which is a tremendous month. It's their best month of the year. They've scored 150 runs. They set a record for home runs. And certainly, you know, if there's a little stumble in September, people are going to think about those Septembers again. But I really do, you know, there was something, you know, there was a cloud, there was something lifted over this franchise last September. And so I do think this will be different. And look, I mean, they're in great shape. And the priority is getting that home field advantage as soon as you possibly can, so you can make sure you line up your pitching and you go into the postseason. I believe they'll be heavy favorites in that first round, right? I mean, I can't imagine any scenario where they are not heavy favorites if they're playing at home against any of those teams that, you know, in the wild card race right now.
That's a great scenario to imagine. All right, so go ahead out to the dogs in the second game. Well, yeah, sure. We'll cross that bridge later. Get out to the park this week. Go check out Ohtani. The rest of the Angels, yeah, who cares? But for a few at bats, you know, each game, you could see.
Mickey, right.
Go and see one of the greatest players the sport has ever had. You know, continue having one of the greatest seasons this sport has ever seen. You and just Matt don't Moore. Know when it's going to happen again. You don't. You know.
And Matt Moore.
So go check out the Angels, and then the Phillies go on their little 6-game roader. We'll catch you after the Labor Day holiday at some point. Everybody enjoy
live from California.
Yeah. Everybody enjoy your nice long weekend if you're able to. Take some time to rest and recharge whenever you can, if not. And enjoy some good baseball. Hopefully the Phillies keep it up. Go check out Matt's stuff on The Athletic, as always, theathletic.com. For Matt, I am Paul. We'll catch you next week.